Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a new episode of Flesh Wound Farce, where we review and discuss your and our favorite comedy films. This is the world's first and only combination trivia host and professional wrestling announcer of Chilean descent that currently resides in Southern California, Ozzy V. And with me as always on this program, first in the Northern California Bay Area, world famous juggler, Greg Larson. How you doing, Greg?
Ozzy, I've got a wonderful beer, and it's good to see you guys. The second episode of the year. So, yeah, all in all, doing all right. How about yourself, man?
Fantastic. I'm still champion, so I can't complain. Todd? Flesh Wound producer Todd, how you doing?
I can complain until he stops putting himself over.
Hey, man, I've earned the right. You're just lucky. There was one year I was very close to, so I'd won two leagues.
See, I'm already over it.
No,
it's like the, it's like the middle seat of the Reno 911
movie. Not done. I'm not done.
This is why he's not a good middle.
Oh, you have no idea. You know what? How dare you sit there? You've been to Denny's with me when I've been forced to be the middle, and it's fantastic. How dare you, sir? Anyway, as I was saying, no, now I even forgot what I was saying. Was that your whole ploy? God. I'm going to remember.
God. So what are we watching tonight, Ozzy?
Why couldn't you just let me talk? Anyway, I'm just going to jump right into it as soon as I remember.
You'll remember when you think about it while we watch the trailer.
We are watching, reviewing, discussing The Money Pit, released on March 26th, 1986, with a runtime of 91 minutes, directed by Richard Benjamin, written by David Greer, and also presented by Steven Spielberg. Craig. Todd, if you would be so kind to air the trailer.
Anna and Walter are young, single, and in love. They've got good jobs, fabulous futures, a magnificent new home that they bought for a song. Who says they can't have it all?
It's gonna be fun fixing it up, you'll see.
It's gonna need some work.
$5,000?
That's just a deposit.
A little work.
When do you think you can start?
Just as soon as your check clears.
A little care.
Do you really buy this house?
Yes, it is.
A little imagination, and it's gonna be great.
Hold on! Mr. Girl!
Hey, Mr. Fielding!
Money Pit. If they've got what it takes, it's going to take everything they've got. Coming this Christmas from Universal Pictures.
Okay. So, whatever, Greg, be disappointed, be upset, whatever. I'm going to take the joy. I'm going to be positive here. I'm going to bring the positive, I'm going to bring the happiness here because you're going to be the Grinch of the show. That's perfectly fine. That's okay. I'll counter it. Now, this is starring Tom Hanks, Shelley Long, and Alexander Gordonoff pre-Die Hard. And he actually has some pretty good comedic timing. Like, you're surprised because used to seeing him in Die Hard. So when he has some, like, good moments, it's like, oh, well, he had some range. But anyhow, we'll get to Greg last. Todd, any initial thoughts?
Still managed to slip Die Hard in January.
So. Yeah, I did. That was your only initial thought.
Oh, on the movie? No, this is one I've seen over and over, you know, the years. It's one of my mom's favorites, actually. I haven't watched it in a long time. It holds up. I remember laughing more the last few times I watched it, but I was probably like 15 years ago. So, but I still think it's a solid watch.
Greg, over there with your arms folded.
Look, it's not horrible. It just, like, okay, first off, this isn't their fault, but
it's no bachelor party. We get that.
when you start the movie and it's got the Twin Towers for a comedy, like, I mean, it already kind of makes you go, oh man, like, because it brings back, you know, thoughts. So that was kind of like a not good mood setting at first. Again, not their fault, but it wasn't bad overall. There were some great laugh out loud moments, but my only complaint of this movie was I felt like it was a lot of the same joke. You know, like, there were a few moments where it did feel unique, it did feel fresh, but yeah, I did feel it was the same joke over and over throughout most of the movie. And there was one joke in there that, like, I felt was like, why was that even there? You know, the whole dad thing. Like, did you only do that opening for the ending? Like, I don't get it.
Yeah.
Like,
it's, yeah, they did.
That was such a,
we
like,
can, we can get that, to the,
so this was your puppet spoiler show, is what you're saying.
Kind of.
Well, except it didn't last that long.
But it paid off.
It, yeah, there was a payoff to it.
Yeah.
Anyway, aside from just looking at the crust on the bread of the sandwich of the movie,
are you just like being so positive because Tom Hanks is like looking over your shoulder, making sure you don't talk
listen. I know. Okay, I'm going to be honest. So usually there is a green screen behind me. However, this week this is actually young Tom Hanks in ghost form that is being captured on camera. And he has a gun pointed at my back. So I kind of have to, you know.
Well, him and the old man ghost should get together. And
oh, now that you put him, superimposed the old man's image onto the screen.
I didn't.
Shut up.
You just don't even notice when he's there.
Shut up. I know what you're doing. Anyway, can we go back to talk about the movie? Yes. I almost want to see the trailer again. But anyway.
I can play it.
No, it's okay. Greg, I see what you mean by you know, it being the same joke where it's like, oh yeah, this house is so bad. You know, there's just, but if you're watching like a cartoon, you kind of, it just reminded me like I was watching a live action cartoon.
Right, but cartoons like 90 seconds, you know, like, or a few minutes.
But it's still, it's not like the, I think maybe this hit harder for me because my bathroom still needs a, Todd, just fix this editing, please, a shower. The date was given. And here's the thing. When the guy first came and he saw that, you know, the walls were taken out because they needed to remove the walls because of the water leaks in the walls, whatever. And he's like, okay, yeah, we're gonna have to do this. And I, how long do you think that's gonna take? You know what he said? I swear to God, he said 2 weeks. He said 2 weeks. So the whole time, now for anybody that hasn't watched this movie, and every single person that goes to come work on the house, whether it be plumbing, the carpenter, whatever, when he asks how long is this gonna take, how long do you think it's gonna, 2 weeks, about 2 weeks. But it takes longer than 2 weeks, So it was November 29th is when the 2 weeks were supposed to start. And it is, at time of this recording, January 2nd. By the time of this airing, I'm hoping there will be a shower in that bathroom. But it might be another 2 weeks. I don't know.
Well, if you go ask him right now.
Excuse me?
If you go ask him right now, they're going to tell you, yeah, it'll be done in 2 weeks.
It'll be done in 2 weeks. Yeah, exactly. So when that already put me in a good mood, and like, as you mentioned, you seeing whatever put you in like not in the best mood, hearing the 2 week estimate every time is just like, oh man, this is great. This is cool.
Yeah.
But if I'll just take this opportunity to segue into the favorite moments of the film, for me, and this is, I watched it multiple times. I laughed so hard. I was in tears and I went back to watch it two additional times. And it's actually from the trailer, is when you see a hole, something falls through the floor and Tom Hanks had, he's just at that breaking point and he just starts laughing repeatedly. Yes. I completely lost it. And I needed to see it multiple times because initially the joke itself wasn't funny, but the reaction to it just made it that much better.
Right.
And he did that laugh that where he exhaled all the oxygen out of his lungs. And the thing is I first saw this movie at a very, very, very young age, like one of the first movies I ever saw, 4 or 5, because my sister loved this movie. Right. And that laugh is the laugh I try to emulate if I'm trying to be obnoxious. I've discovered that's the laugh that I go to because I've heard myself do that laugh. Excuse me? My normal laugh? Shut up, Todd. But, well, maybe you've heard me do that laugh at a wrestling show because things have brought me to that point.
Oh, numerous so, times.
There you go. But anyhow... My favorite, absolutely. I had to watch multiple times just that reaction to that particular moment because this followed the kitchen scene and just it was, you can say cartoons are 90 seconds. I don't care. I was fine with this being whatever it was because I felt it had moments that broke it up, you know, that allowed their actual lives to show what would make sense and whatnot. Greg? Ellie, could you? What made you laugh the most? How about that?
Well, you took the one that made me definitely laugh the most.
Okay. Sorry.
Like, although no, it's fine because there were some great moments, and I don't want to like bag on this movie completely, but I do feel like when they nailed something in a unique way, I really appreciated it. My other one, besides the laughing, when he's fixing the front door. And he closes it twice, and it's fine. And he's like, all right. And he goes in a third time, like it ends up falling the whole way. Like, that was golden, you know, because you thought, he finally got a win. Like, this is great. No.
Todd?
All right, well, I'm going to go with one. It might be a little too over the top, but it made me laugh my ass off. When she unplugs the plug... And it sets off a Rube Goldberg chain of events with.
Oh, yes, that was actually my favorite scene as a kid.
Okay, well,
and something I hadn't noticed before when I'd seen it is that because it had been so long and I was at a much younger age, but there's two people who are working on the house, and when they see this character that happens to be, he got these curtains wrapped around him because a whole series of events happened, and he falls into this. I don't know, concrete paste, anything. They think he's a ghost, which just makes it even like, oh my gosh. It's like a perfect comedy of errors. When I talk about like being a cartoon, it like reminds me of like Wile E. Coyote. Just, oh man, just so much. I had fun with this movie. I really did. And however, I was feeling really great about it. And especially honorable mention, them having a fight in front of everybody
was
so, I mean, I almost want to say it was underrated because it was so smart because that fight, that argument needed to happen in their story arcs, right?
Right.
That needed to take place, but it needed to be a dramatic moment. And they still managed to keep the comedy in there by having all the workers pay attention to everything that was going on. And she says, oh man, she said something about the line where your word isn't it, or too bad your check isn't as good as your word, or something like that. And everybody just immediately checks their check. Oh my gosh. But there's just a whole bunch of movies a whole bunch of moments throughout this movie that made me just laugh out loud funny. But there was a moment at the very, very end, without going into a spoiler, where it was basically what caused a major conflict in the movie when it was revealed, or I guess when the solution was presented, it just kind of seemed like, oh, okay, so everything's fine then. And I was just like, whoa, hold on a second. I got to be fair, because Private School did this, where... it was my fault, and it's like, so sure. Maybe
I would have used the same defense though, Ozzy. It was the 80s. No one cares.
But I honestly think it was because, I mean, I don't want to spoil anything. I don't. Or what do you think? It is 86.
Well, how do we vote?
Do we want to do the ratings? I'll do the ratings, then I'll jump into spoilers so I could speak specifically what I'm talking about. So I was actually on a drink.
You're good.
I'm sorry.
I think if the movie can buy a drink at this point, we're good to spoil things.
If the movie can buy a drink at this point, it's good to spoil things. That's fair. But I will still, just in case anybody's like, no, don't tell me. I don't care. Whatever.
Because people will watch the movie on the strength of our review.
That's true.
There you go. So I was en route to giving this a 4 until the ending happened, and then it brought it down to a 3.5. So I'll say 3.5.
Huh.
Greg?
That's interesting. No, just because I'm going to give it a 3.5 as well. Like, I didn't think it was amazing. I love Tom Hanks and Shelley Long. How can you not? And I mean, their acting was great. The moments that were unique, like the jokes were great at first because you're like, oh, this is what's going on. And so those were great at the beginning. Then you had some that were very unique, which made you laugh out loud again. Then it got a little stale. And then Tom Hanks laughed. And, you know, then it just kind of brought it back a bit. So I got to agree. It's a 3.5.
Well, not to shake things up, I'm a 3.5 also on this one.
Oh, look at that. Consensus.
Yeah.
All right. 3.5. Not on any stream. Like, you can't find this on Netflix or HBO Max right now. So best bet would be to purchase it digitally or rent. I'd recommend a purchase because this is definitely I will be seeing again soon. Now, just to get, we won't need to do the spoiler alert. But if you do want to watch that and not be surprised by what happens in the film, this is where you can turn this off. We bid you adieu right now.
So how's this any different than a spoiler alert?
But you know, the whole like, rah, rah, rah,
that just means you're trying to get me alarm. Not to play it.
No, I don't want the sound because the sound should only be warranted for like newer films.
No, we do it on everything.
Yeah, but I don't think we should do it on this case. In this case, okay, if it's old enough to buy a beer, it doesn't require
the there. Sound. You get the banner.
There we go. Okay, we'll get the ticket. Nice. That's fine. Okay. Shelley Long's character, Anne, ends up sleeping with her ex-husband, played by Alexander Gordonoff, Max. And this is what causes Tom Hanks to say, I don't want to, Walter Fielding, I don't want to be in this relationship anymore. And they look like they're about to split up. And then it turns out where he says, oh, no, we didn't sleep together. You slept in the bedroom and I slept on the couch in the living room. I just wanted you to think that we slept together because I thought I could win you back. And she says, oh, Max, you're so sweet. And it's like, he lied to you. And because he lied to you, your relation. Oh, no, I don't want to be with you because he would just stay bad with me and not forgive me if I slept with somebody else. Like, well,
not just lied to you, but lied that he kind of date raped you. Like, it's a whole nother step.
And then when it came to the very end where Walter turns to Anne and says, you know, I don't care that you slept with Max. I mean, I care, but, you know, I not enough to not be without you. And then she says, I didn't sleep with him. She's like, oh, you didn't? And then the next thing you see is that they're married. It's like, wait, okay, everybody hold on a second. He's just cool that she said I slept with him and all of a sudden I didn't? What, like, the first thing the eyes should have popped out of his head. Like, what are you talking about? What did you make this up? Was this a test? A sick test? And then that led to a wedding scene? Come on now. If there was just like, I don't know. It just didn't. Am I alone on that? Is that 80s? Sorry?
It was the 80s.
Okay. Well,
yeah. It was a common trope. It's not the first time it happened.
Well, you had Joe Mantegna also in the film as Art Shirk, who was the showed up practically a cameo for just like a few minutes. But he was under the presumption that Shelley Long's character, Anne, had called the carpenter for other services.
You're lucky that didn't make my list.
And then shortly afterward, Walter's upset that, you know, sure, it was Anne's words. He almost attacked me. And Walter says, oh, but he's the best carpenter in town. You know how hard it is to find a carpenter? And his brother's a plumber. And then, just, oh, plumber. Will I have to sleep with him? You know, just all. So it is, I see what it is actually very 80s in that sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yes. But still, highly recommended, just because the gags in there were enough to keep me entertained the entire time. This actually felt, it's strange. So last week we reviewed Reno 911 Hunt for QAnon, and that had a runtime of 85 minutes. This had a runtime of 91 minutes. However, this felt, or rather Reno 911 Hunt for QAnon felt longer than this movie, despite having it.
Well, that's because you fell asleep.
Fair point. But anyhow, still check it out. Now, Greg, Todd, anything else you want to say before you head out for the evening?
Hopefully your bathroom is fixed by our next episode.
It'll be 2 weeks. It'll be another 2 weeks. So we'll
see. And to make you feel better, Ozzy, as someone who works at an apartment complex that deals with contractors, it's a thing. It's not just you.
That's what makes the movie so funny.
Right.
That's what makes the gag so funny. So there you go. 2 weeks. Anything? 2 weeks. Always 2 weeks. All right, ladies and gentlemen. We'll see you next week with a brand new episode. That's Greg Todd. I'm Ozzy V. We'll see you next week right here on Flesh Wound Farce.